Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Yo, yo, what's up? It's your boy Zo Prophet. What up, America? You know what I'm saying? Midwest Avengers in the building, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, it's your Negrum so-and-so, the young Avenger, S.O. apostrophe, you know, S.O. fresh, the best, the whole mics. What up, what up?
It's your boy, the one, the only, that guy Joe, a.k.a. Cholo Joe, rocking them six strings.
Mm-hmm. It's the one and only, the original, you know what I'm saying, Midwest Avengers for life, got the tattoos on me, your boy, John Harrington, because nobody knows my actual name.
I was about to say that. Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? And you listen to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Midwest Avengers Edition.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
West Avengers year 25, been unstoppable since we grabbed the mic. Paint a pretty picture when we verbalize, but you ain't seen nothing till you seen us live. Coming from the loot, you see the south side. Had to do some dirt for the crew to survive. In the distance, we ambitious with my eyes on the prize. Like, I stand alive. Life for the party when we socialize. Can't even get it hype, we don't know those guys. So refrain from your name when you tell those lies. Respect is a must, we don't play that eye. Three letters in the circle, what that symbolize? Freedom and equality, no compromise. A revolution of inclusion and we born to thrive. Brothers and sisters to the day we die.
Man, I done been around so long, seen so many come and go. Since the team been with the team, young Avenger, nigga, bro. I'm a Midwest Avenger dating way back. Was a fan for a nigga even say that. Used to be the little cat with the strange rap that you say is whack, and now it's time for the big payback. Look, middle finger to the haters, you should eat it, dick. Man, I thought y'all niggas all kept it 100. Let me find out that you just a bitch. Now when times are hard, you called up the squad. We try to keep you all elevated. But over 25 years, just me and my peers dropping off the scene that we created. We made it, you hate it, you fake it, you ain't us. That's niggas, you hate it. You sound like some bitches, my niggas.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Midwest Avengers.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, hey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
What up, Shane?
Yeah, man, this is cool. I've been a long time, man. I've been following you guys for quite a while. I was trying to think. I guess the first, you guys used to do some shows with
my buddies, Exit 714.
Yeah, those are the homies.
Yeah, I mean, I went to school with Mike. So we used to play basketball together all the time.
Mike Hoops?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't see him as a hooper either.
Yeah. And the original bass player, Ryan Palk, we also went to school together. So I've known those guys a long time, and it was cool to kind of follow them into the original music and stuff, playing pops and all the stuff they were doing with the Road to Point Fests and things.
It was a great band, man. Shout out to them.
Yeah, I wish they would get back at it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and peace to Cody and Molly. They had a child not too long ago.
So that's where I first started taking notice to what Midwest Avengers were, you guys were up to and everything. I didn't realize until you guys booked this party that it's been 25 years you've been doing this thing.
1992.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know that's even going back to the stuff with XS714. I mean, it's still, that's already, maybe pushing 8, 9, you know, eight, man. Something, I don't know, whatever, how many years, whatever, it's been 18, a while.
18.
Mm-hmm. But, getting to, you guys been doing this for quite a while, though.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me a little more, like, where does all this get started? I mean, how do you guys get this idea to put this group together and one?
I'm one of the original members. I was there when we coined the name. Mostly what it was is we were coming up in U City. We were coming up in Southside. Like, it was like a big party crew. Like, it all started, we used to hang out at the Wall in the Del Mar Loop. So what it was you had like ravers, hippies, shouldn't call them hippies, they like follow Grateful Dead and that type stuff, gangster rappers, skaters, punk rock kids, skinheads, like sharp skinheads against racial prejudice, and they had their own group, and then we had another group of older party or crew that was from like all over the city called Four Horsemen. So my crew kind of came up in the midst of, this was before it was like different scenes, when it was one big underground scene. If you were weird or different, everybody hung out together. It wasn't a rave scene or a hip-hop scene or a metal scene. It was, we kind of all weird, let's all hang out together and go to a bunch of different shows, to a bunch of different clubs, you know what I mean? So we all went to jam band, folk stuff. We all went to metal, hardcore punk. We all went to hip-hop house parties. You know, it was just a big group mix of people. And some people were photographers. Some people were artists. Some people were dancers. Some people were rappers. Some people were singers. Some people just hung out. Some people just liked to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that whole 15 to like 19 age groups, just finding out who we are, drinking and partying and staying out all night. And you know, we didn't have to have plans, we just went out and something happened, you know what I mean? So it was just a bunch of us just click real tight and just say, you know, we need a name for our crew, we need to start like doing stuff. And it was Darren Owens, Adverb Superb, and Joe Rumor. They actually had a rap group at the time. And they were called the Chosen Ones, but they changed their name to In Limbo. And that kind of spoke to who we were as a crew, because none of us fit in one specific area. And where we were living at together was, we called it In Limbo. You know what I'm saying? We were in limbo because, you know, I could go back to my cousins and them. They was like thugging out on the North Side, listening to gangster rap, trying to get me to join gangs. My boy Kiro could go back to his house. His dad was the principal of Country Day High School. And he had a little brother, Lewis, who I ended up kicking it with. Like, different members of our crew. My boy Paul, he was supposed to go on to MIT. He was like super crazy smart on some scientist computer shit. And one day we was just like, yo, we need our own identity. We need our own name. We was sitting in Lewis's basement. I was reading a story in Spin magazine saying St. Louis ain't got nothing to offer music-wise, especially when it comes to hip-hop and rock and punk, and like, there's no music coming out of St. Louis that's making a national dent. But to us, like, we had like Silk Smooth, all these heroes, you know, we had like, you know, just different bands and stuff like that. So we just like, you know, we read comic books all the time. At the time, I didn't really think about it, but you know, I was real big into comic books. We was all real big into comic books and computers and stuff like that. And, like, Avengers kind of was, like, the crew that we read the most books. So he's like, shit, we the Midwest Avengers. Like, we Avenger Midwest. You don't believe in the Midwest. Here we go. And that's how the name started. You know what I mean? And the way I started performing is I was at a basement keg party. It was, like, 300-400 people there. We had, like, 10 kegs. And Darren Owens, Adverse Purchase, handed me the mic and said, here, rap. And that was the first time I ever spit on the mic. So I just had to, you know, I ended around flipping, did the same thing to my brother when it was his turn. I just handed him the mic in front of everybody and said, rap, because that's the only way I knew how to do it.
Yeah, it's some bullshit. It's like 100 people at a rave. I'm like 12, 13 years old. And this fool got me out at parties at like 2 in the morning and shit. My mom like, don't pick up no reefer. I'm like, what the hell is reefer and shit? You know what I'm saying? I know what reefer was. Oh, weed. I know what weed is.
Right.
Marijuana. What the fuck is reefer? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, this fool took me to his party up on the south side, some rave. And my cousin, rest in peace, bitch cuz, was there running around crazy. Mm. All the homies, you know what I'm saying, from back in the day. And he like, you know, I came to St. Louis to visit because I grew up in the Yay, in the Bay Area and shit. And so I was like coming back to St. Louis for the summer. And took me to this party. And it was like, yeah, this is my little brother from California. He was like, yeah, he's 13. Yeah. And he was like, rap. And slammed a microphone in my chest. He ain't hand me the microphone, nothing like that. He like, just boom, hit me in my chest with a microphone, dog. Like, and walked off. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was sink or swim. Like, it was sink or swimming those days.
Yeah. And I'm sure I was super whack. But this one dude came up to me afterwards like, man, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man. Stick with it. You're going to be tight. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling you. You stick to it. You're going to be great. And I just started rapping after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to look at the main thing is our values and our ideas and what we believe in. And what we believe in our ideas and our values is that we're all equals, men and women, black, white, Asian, Mexican, Latino, whatever you want to call it. And it's always been a brotherhood and a sisterhood of people who were kind of lost because we were all rebelling against the norm of what our family was trying to ram down our throat. You can't trust white people. They all bad. They all the devil. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, It was so we kind of found this middle ground where we all could be ourselves and have fun and not have to worry about race and gender and, you know, all that. So that's what it's always been about is bringing people in and being like, you dope, we dope, let's get down. We don't roll with no thieves. We don't roll with no, you know, that type of thing. Like, that's one of the biggest things. Like, you steal from one of us. It's like a hardcore situation. So, you know, plus two, I saw it as a way to get away from gangs and get off the streets and get away from drugs. The drug thing didn't work too well, but and we almost turned into a gang.
Yeah, we was always close.
I had to wrestle control from a couple people who was trying to turn us into a gang, but I tried to concentrate on the music, the party, the fun times, you know, kicking it, and trying to stay open to different genres of music. That was one of our things, and one of our secrets was we wasn't just rappers. Like, that's everybody wanted to put us in a rap category. It was never about being a rapper. It was always about expressing yourself. And at the time, rap was hot. Everybody was listening to rap. You know, I always wanted to sing. I was in a punk band before Midwest Avengers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, well, shoot, this rap shit is blowing up. Let's hop on this boat, but let's still maintain this punk rock, this metal, this jazz, this funk. And that's what it's always been about. That's why we've been able to survive so long, is because we didn't adapt to what was going on in fad at the time. We was already that. Like, we cut our teeth at Red Sea playing open mic jams where everybody hated on us for rapping and tried to play real fast, play real slow, play real weird, and we just tweak our verses and our lyrics to fit the beat. They actually were helping us and training us and put us through school. They didn't know that they was training us for war. They was just hating, like, oh, fuck this rap shit. We don't want nobody rapping over our live bands. They was all, like, you know, live band jazz dudes, funk dudes, rock dudes, trying to, like, you know, get love from the little groupie chicks in the crowd. And we was just like, yo, we the shit. Can't nobody fade us. Let's go. It was Avengers. Come on. You know what I'm saying? We was on a whole different, we weren't even tripping off females. Or we just wanted respect in the streets. You know what I'm saying? The only way to get it was to go in there because they was running shit at the time. You know what I'm saying? On the other hand, all the clubs, like I said, you hear about like Galaxy, 1227, Kennedy's, High Point, like Rocket Bar. We was trying to get up in there and they wasn't allowing rap. They wasn't allowing DJs. It was all hardcore, metal, Nazis in there. I mean, like swastika tattoos, like, you know, straight hardcore skinheads, like, you know, red blood docks and the suspenders. Like, it was, they was really running the scene. So we was like, hey, we like to fight. Let's fight. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it kind of changed the Bible because at that time, I thought skinheads was skinheads and they all was Nazis. I didn't know there was a whole group of original skinheads that the Nazis stole the style from, that skinheads against racial prejudice, Sharps, who kind of took us under their wing and explained the ideology behind it. And, you know, I always grew up reading, like, Captain America, he fighting Nazis. I didn't think it was some big, wonderful thing. Looking back on it, I'm like, damn, like, we was really fighting for freedom. I mean, he's like, I'm telling you, like, when we go in a club, it's 30 Nazis and six of us, seven of us. We go to a show, it's all of them and like 15 of us maybe. So we fought. You know, they spit in my face, call me a nigga, like sucker punch me when I'm not looking, like drag me down after I'm leaving the club, all kind of stuff. But I always had a crew of cats that just come rushing in and we stomp them and we literally beat the Nazis off the underground scene in St. Louis. So that's, as a Midwest Avenger, that's part of our legacy, is cleaning the clubs out and making it so that motherfuckers can come up and rap in the clubs they can DJ up in the clubs they can. I mean, punk and metal and rock has always been there. But just since we came along, rap has been able to get into a lot of the clubs. A lot of people don't know that, and we don't go around smashing people's face, but, you know, it's just part of our history. You know, now it's more about making good music, having a good time. I mean, we still have the same values we have, but, you know, me being there since day one, 25 years, and being here now,
right,
just watching the growth of it. I've gained new family members. We've gone, like, we got people all over the world that listen to our music. You know, like, it's just a good feeling. Like he was saying, like, for me, there was some dark days where I was like, I don't ever want to do this shit again. I want to quit. I just want to quit altogether. Like, just because it wasn't even the music. It was more just my personal vibe. But people would come to me like, yo, man, how you been? How many West Avengers going? Man, when y'all next show? Man, I remember this one time I came by y'all house, man. I kicked it, man. It raised my spirits. I felt so good, man. I went back. You know, everything was good after I hung out with y'all. And I was like, damn, I can't stop this shit. If people saying that we saved their life or we made them feel better or, you know, they felt like we were speaking directly to them that night at the show.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I can't stop. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just moving on so other people can talk. Just watching the different eras of Midwest Avengers, because there's been like four or five eras. People say it's really like three major eras, but I feel like it's all these different eras. So watching the eras coming up when we was like 16, 17, 18, 20 to like our mid-30s to like me, I'm 46 now, you know what I mean? I've been same band for 25 years.
Yeah.
So watching the growth and it change and be what we always wanted it to be is, to me, like mission accomplished, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say like it's over because we got a big ass show coming up in 2 weeks.
Right.
We got a new album. We actually got two new albums coming out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the road's not finished. It's not over. So
yeah, yeah. That's crazy. You think you were saying about the gang kind of stuff? It reminded me in the news just like recently. We had ICP. There's even being called a gang by and stuff, and like. Mm-hmm. anybody with like a Hatchet Man logo right, is like right. considered a gang member mm-hmm. and like and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, so anybody rocking a Midwest Avengers hat or whatever is, you know, they want if that was like if that's the case comparison, you know, it's like, yeah, right, they right, want to say, right, they wanna say yeah. you guys are a gang and that's the same.
No, was, we definitely had a Midwest Avenger task force. Yeah. Yeah, like U City had a Midwest Avenger task force.
Right.
Like who was in the streets, kind
of
crazy.
We had a lot of like middle street like, fights, snatching motherfuckers out of cars. We had a graffiti crew that was going around putting up the logo everywhere. You know, we had to change our clothes.
Yeah,
because the cops was looking for us. Like, y'all seen anybody in Midwest Avengers? And we standing there like, oh shit, we had to change our clothes because yeah. they had a task force out looking for us, which was weird because those same task force members, once they realized we weren't a gang, started coming to every show. Remember that when them cops started coming to every show yeah. and hanging out on their free
but
time?
But that was like, well, you know what, though? That was kind of like, it was kind of cool because it became like a blessing in disguise, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Because like, we was able to actually see, there's cats, you know, there's human beings in the world. And of course, they take on any and many jobs, of course. Some may be police officers. There's a lot of fucked up people in the world. There's probably some fucked up police officers. I know that. I've had personal experiences. But some of these cats actually ended up being cool ass dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, actually looked out, you know what I'm saying? Like, listened, loved the music, and actually supported us, you know what I'm saying? And that's one thing I can actually say, like, that gave me a whole different perspective of some law enforcement, just to be able to be like, you know what, these cats are actually kind of cool,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
I had plenty of times.
Fucked up at motherfuckers, too.
I had plenty of times I got into fights, and the cops was like, go ahead, go.
Yeah.
You know, get out of here. We'll take care of this. Because they recognize us from Midwest Avengers, from the clubs, from the galaxy. Oh, yo, you in that one band? Well, Midwest Avengers. Yeah, man. Love y'all shit, dog. Get out of here. You're yeah. like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
saved us.
Yeah.
This was it, man.
My all-time favorite Midwest Avengers moment for me is I was driving in the loop one day, pulling up to a corner. And some girls was in the car, like, singing Midwest Avengers all hype. It was on the radio. It was like, Bounce, come on. Bounce, come on. He was, like, singing the song all crazy. And I pulled up next to him, like, yeah, Bounce, come on, Bounce, come on. There's, like, scream. I pulled off. I'm like, it's me.
Right.
That's me. The verse you listen to. The one that you were singing to, that you know the lyrics to. Right. That's me. And they pulled out. They had a sticker on the car. I was like, this is so crazy. Like,
it's 'cause you're black.
You know, what it does, but it was just for me. It was the ultimate. Like, this shit is so big that these girls are going crazy in the car, bouncing and going crazy and singing, and I pull up and they don't even know who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, they listen to my actual verse and the part I'm doing, going crazy, know all the lyrics, saying the lyrics, you know, to the top of their lungs. But I pull up next to them, they don't even know it's me.
Right.
So that's when I was like, This shit is like on a whole nother level now. Yeah. You know what I mean? This ain't got nothing to do with me no more. It's, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's one of my favorite moments.
That's a crazy one. I had the like opposite of that a little bit ago, which was completely surreal. I was at actually went to go see Korn at the pageant.
Yeah.
And I'm just hanging out, enjoying the show, and there's a girl walks by, and she like walked by, and I think she was trying to like get through, and then realized she couldn't get through, so she came back by, and then she like double taked and looked at me, and she's like, "Are you Shane?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like started like shaking, like she's like, I listened to your podcast. I was like, cool, you know. I was like, it was just I didn't know what to say. It's like the fact that being recognized for this show is like, I mean, I never thought that was going to happen.
Social media, man. Yeah. You never know, dog. That shit is instantly, like, you know, you people can touch you and reach you, like,
right.
Not necessarily mm-hmm. touch you, but actually like interact, you know what I'm saying? Sure. And then run into you in public, you're like, wow, I'm just a regular person, like,
yeah,
yeah, but man, they already but feel like cool. They know you too,
right? And so they actually look up to you, and how about kind of the person you are, crazy, too, you know?
Yeah, it was very cool, though. It was so
you can see the sincereness in you,
yeah, man.
They make you want to keep doing it too,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a motivator for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, day one, it's been a thing for me.
Yeah.
For sure, from day one. Because, I mean, I'm the newbie. I'm the youngest. I wasn't there through all those
grinding days building that reputation. But I walk around with the hat on my head and on almost every side of town, literally Chesterfield, Baldwin, DePere, like every side of town, somebody has stopped me that either personally knows this crew or was affiliated at some point or used to rock shows or just a big fan, whatever. Like literally everywhere, man. In the last few years, I've experienced that all over St. Louis.
And you know what's crazy though? Like, let them know how you first came about, like heard about the crew.
And oh yeah, I mean, well, I mean, what was that ticket stub?
And this is that guy Joe, the lead guitarist.
2008, yeah. So 2008, yeah, it's all funny because 2008. I had a friend that I worked with that introduced me to Scene of Irony and Mo and was like, you'll love these guys because I love all kinds of hardcore, punk, you know, just a lot of shit. And so he's like, you'll love them. So we hit it off. Hell yeah, I love their shows. Great time. So then both him and this friend of mine are telling me, we got this other band that you got to check out too. You'll love Midwest Avengers for real. You don't know anything like them. You'll like them. Cool. So I had already heard them by reputation for a little bit. And then Mo threw a house party where he played a show. And that was the first night I met any of these guys, and everybody was chilling. And so I just actually met them, still not hearing any music. So we're just chopping it up and kicking it, you know. And I get tickets to the upcoming pageant show that I went to a couple weeks later. And that was like my first experience with the music and everything. And so it was really cool for me being in Midwest Avengers now, because that was 2008. And so back then, as a musician, I'm real like, I like to play this, I like to play this, I like to play this, but I didn't really start on my own music, I didn't really start mixing things together. And I seen Midwest Avengers and I was like, I can do this. I'm like, dude, some of this stuff is like perfect for me. I'm like, I love this. I'm like, I can do that. Why don't I write like that? Why don't I try to jam some stuff like that? And that was kind of like the start for me in mixing up different genres. And I just started taking reggae music and metal and taking hip hop beats and playing metal guitar over. I would actually just like play random stuff off the radio and like figure out a way to play to it. You know what I mean? So it changed how I write my music. And then you fast forward in time.
9 years later.
Yeah, to when they looking for a guitar player, you know, and then just mutual friend linked it up and it all ended up working out. But it's just kind of crazy how that just went full circle, you know what I mean?
Go from fan to in the band, man.
Yeah, man, and legitimately having an influence on how I write my music instead of like trying to keep things in a box, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, yeah, why don't I ever do anything like that? It literally just like changed how I do my own stuff.
Yeah,
That's how I was though. I was a fan before I was in a band too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Actually, before it was a band, it was a rap group, a crew, you know what I'm saying? But I was like I said, on the West Coast, and my mom would send me like newspaper clippings from the RFT with John and them on the cover, like, you know what I mean? Or in a picture, because we ain't never had a cover yet. But, in the pictures, like saying number one rap group, you know, best rap group, and they have a list of like six other cats that were pretty popular, you know what I'm saying? And I had that stuff posted on my walls and, you know, in my room in California, you know what I'm saying? And so I come back, you know, for the summer or whatnot and visit my family, and that's when I started hanging out, and my mom made him watch out for me, and I had to, like, you know, tag along or pretty much bug everybody. You know, they all looked after me, they all my big brothers or whatnot, but it was like crazy nights, you know what I'm saying? So coming back and like hanging out each summer as I get older and coming back with new experiences, you know what I'm saying, to finally actually be at a show one night, and it's actually ICP. Actually, no, that was after I moved back to St. Louis. I came back here in the middle of a high school career or whatever and started getting a little more active, and brought me up to a show down at the Galaxy, I think, when we played with ICP. I remember that distinctly because it was some dude with a green mohawk. It was hella tall and he had ICP on one side of his head and MWA on the other side of his head. And I was hella mad though, because they was like, yeah, we gonna bring you out, we gonna bring you up on stage. I'm like, cool, just stand right here. So I'm on the side of the stage for like, I don't know how long the set was, but I felt like I was on there for you know what I'm saying?
2 hours.
You feel me? And so, like, it was crazy. There's, like, these girls, like, right there on, like, this little gate separating everybody from the stage and the backstage area. And they're, like, just kind of looking at me at first. And they're all, like, just smiling, dancing, looking at me and shit, right? And I'm like, hell yeah. So, like, about 5-6 songs later, they ain't looking at me no more. And I'm just standing there by myself, and they on stage, they ain't even looked at me. They ain't gave me no head nod, no nothing. And I'm like, well, damn, that's when I start getting upset. I'm all in my feelings. I'm like, damn, they told me I was going to be up. They start playing this song. I'm like, they know this is my favorite song. They get halfway through the song, and he go, yo, we want to introduce the newest Avenger, woop woop wop wop wop, and brought me out. I was like, oh, that. And then we freestyled the rest of that song, and we kept going through the rest of the show. And that was when I was officially a Midwest Avenger. And that had to be in like 95, 96.
It was 96.
Yeah.
That's another
15 years old.
That's another thing, too, is for the first 8 years, we freestyled every show.
Oh, wow.
Like, we just had a beat. And we had something called Skeleton Songs, where we'd be like, ha, 1-2-1-2, ha, ha, 1-2-1-2, and then you just start rapping. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, let me say Ike and Tina, have you seen her? My car was kind of dirty, so I hope you bought a cleaner. You know what I'm saying? It's the hip hopper, always on top of breaker suckers, MCs off because they need something proper. You know, so it was like what we call springboards. They was like songs that we had or stuff that we had that we knew people liked, so we used that first little springboard to start freestyling. So we got paid like $2,000 for a New Year's Eve party in 97, and we didn't know what the fuck we was going to do. Like, we literally went up there at the time. I was on acid and mushrooms at the same time. And I was like, hey, DJ, drop it. Let's go. And our DJ, Toasty Toast, R.I.P. DJ Tozy Toes, just started dropping break beats. And we rapped for 2 hours freestyle. We didn't know what the fuck we was going to say. So
Killed the party out.
What else? The beauty of like freestyling on acid, you can like kind of see the end of the, you can kind of see all the lyrics you're going to say. So you just had to go down the line and make sure you say them. Sometimes you jump two bars over. Anyway, it was it was weird because we were getting paid for shows and we didn't even practice.
Right.
We just showed up and freestyled complete shows. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was a different vibe. Like, for us, another, like I said, like, we always been in all these different genres and all these different groups is, like, we would go to the hip-hop shit. Like, we would smoke weed and, like, you know, beat on the table, like, in the daytime. And then we go to the club at night and get on the stage at High Point and freestyle or at Red Sea or at Blueberry Hill, the Science. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that would be over and everybody would go eat in the hip-hop world. After the show, in at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, they would all go to Denny's and eat and go home. We'd go to the rave. And like, the rave was just popping around 1.
Right.
So, you know, they'd be like, yeah, we Midwest Avengers. Like, oh, Midwest Avengers already here. Like, what do you mean Midwest Avengers already here? Like, yeah, Midwest Avengers already here. They've been here. And I'm like, nah. And like, y'all got to rap to prove that y'all Midwest Avengers. So we'd have to, again, rap to prove that it's us. And then go get the people who they pretended to be us, Jay motherfucking Riley and a couple other people.
That we know. People we know.
Anyway, the point of what I'm saying is that, like, being in so many different scenes and being able to survive and move on, because there was a point in St. Louis hip hop before Nelly even came along or was heard of, like, St. Louis hip-hop kind of hit a drought because the old school was coming out and new school was coming in. But we was going to raves till the next day.
Right.
Like, and then we started realizing, oh, shit, how can we get these ravers into Midwest Avengers? I live by myself with roommates at 16, so I was like, let's have the after party. So I ended up having, like, DJ Dimitri from Delight at the crib. I ended up that having tradition. Kurt Cobain at the crib. I ended up having Korn at the crib. I ended up having all these bands and famous people come to the crib looking for drugs at 2 in the morning, 5 in the morning, because we was throwing these, like, nitrogen party. We was getting big-ass tanks of nitrogen. So $5 a balloon. Everybody was sipping nitrogen at, you know what I mean? Like, we was just getting bananas with it. You know, if you need some mushrooms or some some LSD come to the Avengers crew because we got it for you. So
kids, don't try this at home.
Yeah. Right. So it was cool because like a lot of people just go home after the hip hop stuff was over, but we go into the rave world and do that. And I don't know if you're familiar with raves, old school rave. You just kind of kick open the door in the warehouse, set up a sound system, and run some generators. So what we started doing is what we call the second room, where we bring our own generator and set up our own turntables and do all hip-hop, dubstep, drum and bass, jungle. They called it jungle music back then. Jungle and acid jazz and trip-hop was in the second room. They wasn't doing it all over America, as far as I know. It started here because we was like, oh, well, it's two rooms. We ain't never going to get a chance to rap on the stage. They got all these DJs. Right. Let's do another room in this other room on the side and start the hip-hop room. So it started becoming the, when you jump dancing all night and going crazy on drugs, you can come in there and chill. Let's do some acid jazz, some trip-hop. Let's do some hip-hop. Let's do some jungle. So we developed this whole, like, falling on a rave scene to the point where we was like traveling every weekend all over the country for years, making grands, rocking raves. That's what we called it, rocking raves. So that's a whole nother era and side of Midwest Avenged that people don't even know about.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like you think St. Louis and what's going on in St. Louis, that's great, but we ain't known out of St. Louis for that. We known outside of St. Louis for rocking these raves. Like, I'm talking 10,000 people sold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like driving, you know, 700 miles and, you know, find out that our DJ threw all our records away because all of a sudden he was God. You know what I'm saying? Like our DJ decided, you know, it's him and the Midwest Avengers. So we got there and we had to once again prove that we was the Midwest Avengers because the Midwest Avengers was already there. You know, we had a lot of guys be like, yo, man, you know, no diss, we don't mean to hate, but we going to make y'all play at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all, you know, like, we don't want to diss y'all, but, you know, y'all can either play at 9 p.m. or y'all can play at 3 p.m. And, like, they thought they was dissing us. I'm a strategist. And to me, you want me to go on at 3 a.m. when everybody peeking and all the drugs they took at 9? You want me to play in front of 5,000 to 6,000 people? Fuck yeah! I was like, oh, well, you know, man, like, I guess we can do it. I guess we'll take that 3 o'clock slot.
It would take it.
You know what I'm saying?
And just, all the time they try to play us.
And we're like, great. You want to play at 3 a.m.? You want to play at 2? You want to play at 4? Great, because everybody's all drugged the fuck out. Anything that we do sounds amazing. Right. It's already dope, but it's gonna sound even better because they all fucked up. So they actually helped us out by dissing us. They thought they was dissing us, but they was actually helping us out. Because who the hell want to play a rave at 9 p.m. when there's 10 people?
Ain't nobody there. Like,
and ain't nobody fucked up yet. You know what I'm saying?
That happened so many times. You're just like, okay.
So coming back to St. Louis and seeing the situation with hip-hop and rap, we decided to take matters in our own hands. That's when we started Slum Fest. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of beef going on with that whole idea, but we was just like, hey, we know all the owners of these clubs. We grew up with them. Like, they now all own these clubs, or we so cool with the club owners now that we can get gigs. Like, we stopped getting booked by people because we started getting phone calls. Hey, somebody dropped off the show. Can y'all come play? Hey, I got a Saturday in 3 weeks. Can you fill it for me? Hey, like, so we know everybody. We know all the artists. So let's just start throwing shows. You know, same with Rock You, same with Underground Style, same with a lot of the shit that we do. Is just, it came to the point where I always believed in, if you got the hookup, you should use it. Why sit on the hookup? Why, if you got the hookup, you need to be using it, because some of those people won't be in that position in 6 months. But if they say they can get you this and get you that and they owe you, use that shit immediately. Because it might not be there when you need it. So now at this point, us as a group, we providing opportunities for all these other artists, not to, so people can say thank you, but just to not let that hookup go to waste.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, like, if some guy like, I got, you know, FUBAR for this. Okay, boom, let's go. I got Atomic Cowboys. Boom, let's go. I got Ready Room. Boom, let's go. Let's put a show together.
And that's how the 25th anniversary show came about. You know, they hit me up like, yo, we got these dates. You want one? I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. It just so happens the 25th anniversary.
Which it was originally yesterday, November 17th.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be tonight, but they said the Urge was doing a show at the pageant. And I'm not.
No.
That's half our crowd,
right?
You know, like we grew up on the Urge. Like, literally, the Urge kind of catapulted us to fame because there was a riot at the Urge show when we was opening up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because we sucked. It's just they waited so long to see the Urge.
This was at Mississippi Nights.
This is back in the day. Like, we had opened for Urge like a bunch of times. Like, you know, Steve and Carl was like, hey, we like what y'all doing, come through and open. Like, to me, that was the gods. Like, I grew up on
Urge, lit.
Sinister Dane, like all the groups back in the day, you know what I mean? So when the Urge asks you to open, you drop everything you're doing and go. I mean, this Mississippi Nights days. I'm talking
it was
like late 90s. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what put us up on that next level, opening for the Urge. But on that second show, one of our rappers swung out into the crowd and tried to stage dive. He's 6'8". 300 pounds. Yeah. Everybody just moved out the way on his ass. He fell flat on that concrete floor.
And the killer is, we got them shits on tape, though, and it's just so hilarious. You can see me and the other homie Intellect MC just fall out laughing on stage. It was.
But what was crazy was the Urge gave us 30 minutes, and we really only had, 20 minutes worth of material?
Yeah.
So we just started making shit up. As usual, we started making shit up. And the crowd,
DJ K-9
the crowd started booing and throwing shit, and a couple of the members got mad. And I was like, it ain't about it. They ain't mad at us. They just want to see the Urge.
Like, was, you know what I'm saying? Right,
so of course, motherfuckers jumped out in the car and started stealing on motherfuckers and fighting and shit. And
we got banned from there. We got banned from Mississippi Nights
three times.
Yeah, that was the first time we got banned.
But we got banned because a couple of our members jumped out in the crowd and started knocking motherfuckers out.
Yeah, stupid asses. That shit was hella funny.
So, we got so many stories.
You can think back on it. That shit was kind of funny.
But, like, really bridging the gap. Like, with the live band stuff has been, like, really fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I've been in the punk and metal. Like I said, I was in a punk band before this. So, as a rapper in a rap group, because we were a rap group, it was kind of hard having that. You know, you have to grow up. Because it was like, we come out rocking a CD. And if we jump too hard, the CD skipping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the next band behind us got a DJ, and they killing it. They shit ain't skipping. So we like, we got to get a DJ, because this fucking skipping shit is for birds. You know what I mean? You jump on stage, you get high, bounce, come on. It's like,
then we started, after we got a DJ, we started bouncing, going, getting a little too turned. And the vinyl started skipping. The needle started skipping on the vinyl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but another part on top of that was at that time when we graduated up to a DJ and started playing shows with a DJ, we started getting shows with live bands.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, a DJ sound good, but a live band sounds so much fun.
But also, at the same time, we kept running into walls because it's like, you know, we try to get, you know, we always got, you know, John's, he's trying to strategize all the time, you know what I'm saying? And I do the same thing, but he was like, you know, these people keep telling us we can't play these shows because we don't have a band. You know what I'm saying? We have big aspirations. We were looking to play for St. Louis Symphony, which we did. We was a rap group. But, of course, we got played hella early when it's, like, a few people there. You know what I'm saying? We got under the belt.
Still played,
but, you know, yeah, we did. You know what I'm saying? Still but played. They kept saying, if you were a band, you know, can we get on this show? Well, you know, you guys, I like you guys, you know, music, but if you were a band. So then we did a remix for 105.7 The Point. Woody and Whippin' Boys show, and with this band called Mr. I Force, song we had called Bounce, and it ended up, you know, being a popular song for a while. And
number one for 2 weeks.
After we did that one song with a live band, it was like, why go backwards? Like, let's keep progressing. You know, people keep telling us we can play this show if you had a band. We just did a song, a remix with a band, and this shit has been number one for like 9 weeks. why not get a band?
But it was a lot of pushback from the Keep It Real motherfuckers.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Like, pushback from, like...
People didn't believe
it. Yeah, once you go... You gotta remember, like, this shit was before the Roots got famous.
Right.
Like
we the Roots, like, was on. The Roots, yeah, was on.
But they wasn't like where they at now type shit. So it was like, it was hard to convince people here that we could be that we could do that. Like, St. Louis is just a city full of haters. You know, like, what do you call it? Like a barrel of crabs? What have you called it? I believe that there is a glass ceiling here, or a ceiling here, that once you get to a certain extent, and if you ain't kissing the right ass, sucking the right dick, it ain't gonna happen for you. You know what I'm saying? Like I've always told the members of my band that was white, hey, yo, it's a such thing as the white boy hookup.
Yeah.
You need to use it.
For real.
Because I would call hotels, and they'd be like, nah, we don't have no vacancies. And then he would call right back, be like, yeah, how many rooms you need?
Yeah, real talk.
You know what I'm saying? Like, talk. I would go into places, and they would just sit me in the lobby for like 2-3 hours and never come see me. He'd go in there, they'd see him right away. And he never understood that. Like, he picked it up on it after a while, but... He was just used to it. Back then, we didn't know it was called white privilege, but now we know that, and it is what it is. But I never had a problem with it. I just wanted to show them how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I knew how to use it. I just want to show him how to use it to our favor, because he didn't understand.
That's crazy. We definitely didn't have the definition we had was white boy hookup.
Yeah, it was called, you know, we called it the white boy hookup.
We didn't know it was called the coin, yeah, white privilege. You know what
I'm saying? But stuff that I couldn't get done, even though I had all the information and I knew it all, people just wouldn't give it to me. But if I had him go in there, hey, back door, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, I mean, that's how we got our music played a lot.
Hey, dude, like, stations. When we out of town trying to get a hotel room.
Yeah, I would go up and they'd be like, nah, shut no baggage.
Quickly.
He go up, yeah, we got like 8 rooms. How many rooms you need? You know what I'm saying? This wasn't just the South. This was the West Coast, it was East Coast, everywhere. Up North. But it is what it is. I mean, like, we've always just been a diverse crew. So it's always been
rental,
like,
car services, dog. Yeah. Like Enterprise, dog. Oh,
but it works backwards. It works backwards. You touch down in Compton, and they're like, yo, what up with these white motherfuckers, dog? Like, they cool. All right. You know what I'm saying? You touch down in Detroit, you touch down in fucking, you know, the Bronx. Like, you know, you got a couple white dudes with you. What's up with them? Oh, no, they straight. All right. You know what I mean? So it worked both ways. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it was just weird that we had to deal with it like that, because we was young, we was kids, we didn't really, I understood it, but they didn't really understand it. But it was like, just for instance, we coming back from South by Southwest, we get pulled over by the cops, and one of the rappers in the band, Psychedelic Lumberjack, he got weed on him, he got this illest pipe I've seen in my life, he got a completely round wooden pipe. Yeah. Completely round. You turn the top and the bottom, you can smoke out it. You turn it back, it's a ball. It was the most amazing pipe I ever seen in my life.
Made out of wood.
It was a complete wood ball. And you just turn the top and the bottom, you can smoke out of it. And the cops pulls over, it's like, yeah, what you got? And like, he straight up told the cops, yeah, I got a bag of weed and blah, 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 blah. We was like,
it was not. They went through our bags, they threw all our stuff. They grabbed our luggage, threw it out the car, literally, like, threw it. All
blew my fucking mind. Cause like, I don't know the cops like that. I can't just tell them.
We in Kansas,
you know.
We're in Kansas on an exit where there's a whole bunch of fucking corn and fucking sunflower fucking flowers.
Oh, so they could have just buried y'all out
there. Dude, like, he's trying to, the cop was trying to get him to tell them that one of us were the ones who actually were in possession.
And none of us had weed except for him.
Except for him. He's the only one who had the weed.
And the cops was like, thank you for being honest. Y'all can go. Huh.
Yeah, they threw it later. Our shit laying in the fucking ground and shit.
Yeah, but they went through all our shit, and they just like talked to him straight up, and I was like, this shit's fucking amazing. Like, to me, it was amazing, because I was like,
I was
after
mad
all
as
this
fuck.
Shit, I couldn't be mad. I was like, we all going home, you know what I mean? Like, but all he had to do was talk to the cop in the first place, and we never would have had to even go through all this shit, you know what I mean? So, I mean, and that's what's so good about having a multicultural mixed race group, because like I said, this was built off friendships. This was built off being in the streets and fighting and living with each other and being brothers and sisters. This wasn't like we specifically planned it to be this way. It's just we all gravitated to each other, and that's what it was. I mean, you know, like I know, it's not a lot of Asian people, not a lot of Latino people in St. Louis. If you look at the statistics, think about that in 1990. Mm-hmm. We had like one Asian chick. Yeah. We had one Mexican dude, my boy Juan Hernandez. He's still around to this day. But we didn't have a lot of diversity. We just had black and white, you know, a couple mixed motherfuckers, like one Asian, one Latino, and one Indian, like from India type Indian. So it's like weird now the way shit is Indian now type. Because, well, you got to distinguish it because motherfuckers are saying some crazy shit. Yeah. So, like, it's weird now because, like, we always want, like, the original Midwest Avengers, the original Party Cool, we had female singers and rappers and all that. They just...
B-girls.
They just got nervous and didn't want to be in the spotlight. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a black female rapper. We had an Asian female rapper. We had a Latino female rapper. Shout out to Amos. Yeah. We had, you know, all these different people that was a part of it. They just... was afraid to get on stage and get out in front of people and be like a part of it. So the focus became, which I could never fix, but the focus became us in the limelight. Think about it. You come from with a crew of 75, 80 people, and five people become the focus of everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people got jealous. A lot of people got mad. A lot of people quit. We never won. We tried to start this group called Freedom Culture Coalition. It was supposed to be. It was supposed to deflect all the attention off Midwest Avengers and make Midwest Avengers a part of a bigger group called Freedom Culture Coalition. That's for all the graffiti artists, all the breakers, all the DJs, all the regular people who just was down with the crew. Because we realized, are we losing people because five people getting the shine? You know what I mean? Like imagine having 80 people that you see every day. I mean, every day. Like, when we was kids, didn't matter. We just show up in the loop like, hey, 80 people. We make a phone call and say, yo, it's a party down the street. We got 100 motherfuckers running up in there. If we ain't know you, it was an automatic fight because we don't know you.
Right.
Don't come up here talking shit. It's 100 of us up in this motherfucker. You know what I mean? So we had to create Freedom Culture Coalition to try to bring everybody together. Paint Louis came out of that, which is successful to this day. We just did our 20th anniversary with all the graffiti artists. But I don't even do graffiti myself personally. But like I said, like, it's weird when that limelight hit motherfuckers and you can't include everybody. Because we like, yo, this is yours as much as mine, but you don't want to be on stage. So you're not getting the attention that the five people on stage getting. I mean, we've had up to, what, 30?
At once, at least.
30 people? Like we was the Wu-Tang before Wu-Tang. Like, you know what I'm saying? Before you knew what Wu-Tang was, we was Wu-Tang. And, like, we got the same opportunity as Nelly. We was offered that deal.
Yeah.
We just didn't take it.
Yeah.
Right. They wanted to change our style, our look, our producers, they wanted to give us writers and all that. And back then, this was in the heyday. Like, this was 98, 99.
We was killing it.
When we was making grands, rocking, like, you know,
Hundreds of people,
10,000 people at some parties, you know, 500 to 1,000 other parties. But at the time, you couldn't really tell us nothing because we were doing so good. Like, I don't regret
not taking it.
Think about it. 98, 99 was back when people were still getting big deals. Like, Universal gave Baby and them at Cash Money $30 million.
Big money.
You know what I'm saying? But my thing was, is it worth becoming somebody I'm not to be famous and get money?
Yes.
I mean, like, who knows what would happen. If we would take that deal, maybe everybody would sound like Midwest instead of sounding like Nelly.
Yeah.
You know, at the time for me, this is what they told us. You need to change your style. We got an image consultant that's going to start dressing y'all. We got writers that's going to start writing y'all lyrics. And everything like that. And then we got a producer that's going to produce all y'all beats and going, like, give y'all that radio sound. And then the one that broke my heart that I couldn't just do was, yeah, you got to get rid of all your white members.
Can't
because there's no way to have credibility with white rappers. Huh. This is before Eminem. Yeah. This is before, like, the only people white rapping was fucking what's his name?
Vanilla Ice. Before that,
oh shit, what you call him?
Pop the Weasel. Third base.
Like, that's all you had. But they told us straight up, you got to get rid of Recharge and you got to get rid of Psychedelic Lumberjack, two white rappers. Like, if I would have thought about it and had time, like, this was a come in right now, decide right now. This wasn't a, hey, we can give you guys a week to sit on this and decide what y'all want to do. This was a, we need an answer before you leave today. Like, thinking back on it, I'd have been like, all right, cool. And then let's bring Recharge and Lewis on as backup, like doing like our backups.
Like writers.
And then, you know, and then bring them on and do some stuff with them. But for me, it was like, I slept on these people's couches. Like, they parents took me out to get dinner and pick me up and, like, let me stay at their house. Like, I can't really stab that in the back. Like, right. And Tana, that's just not my character. That's not in me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I if they gave me a decision and said, yo, you can be a millionaire or we gonna kill your boy, I'm gonna be like, fuck that. I want my boy to live. And that's pretty much what it was. We're like, get rid of all the white members of your group. And I took it personal. Like, that's fucked up, yo. Like, our whole crew is about diversity. We can't have a diverse crew. They was like, nope. It's black and white. Can't be no white rappers. Y'all can't have this group of white people immersed with y'all and doing this shit. And we had to turn it down, man. Like, yeah. I feel bad because I'm like, St. Louis could have sounded like Midwest Avengers instead of sounding like Nelly.
Instead of, uh-oh.
But it is what it is, man. Like, I personally voted no.
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't give up. Like, and you got to look at it now. I'm not even really, I mean, they my brothers, but I don't see them motherfuckers no more. The people who I turned the record deal down from,
yeah,
I don't see them sometimes for years.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't talk to them sometimes for years.
Yeah.
Like, they not coming to the 25th anniversary. But I turned down a record deal for them. I turned down being famous for them. Man. You know, and I don't regret it because I'm doing good. I got a good wife, got a good house, got a good family, got everybody, so I'm good.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, it would be great
still
to be
here 25 years.
That's
later,
what I'm saying. It'd be great to be famous and great to, like, owe the label money and all that. But
you guys, I mean, this is just a bit of it, man. But you guys have been through a lot for these 25 years. And
it's a long time.
This December 2nd, Ready Room, it's going to be a big celebration about all this stuff. And, you know, speaking of that, all that diversity that, you know, bringing all the different people, this lineup that you got, all the special guests you guys are bringing along, yeah, that's a huge representation.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's going to, that shows right there all the, what you guys are talking
it's
about.
It's like an STL celebration, right? Not just an anniversary.
Right.
Yeah, they're all great artists, you know what I mean? They all put in work and are respectable, you know what I'm saying? Like, reputable artists in the city of St. Louis, wherever they from, whether it's Illinois or Missouri, you know what I'm saying? These cats all been putting in work for a minute. And, you know what I mean, they're just good musicians.
Sure,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
You got Pascal's going to host the show.
Yeah, Pascal from the Pascal Show.
You know, he plays drums on the show with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's a music director.
Friend of my show, and we've hung out and
sweet.
Talking. And then you also got another friend of mine, Apollo's daughter, joining you that night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we got a song with Lacey.
Oh yeah,
Unstoppable. Yeah, I'll send you that stuff if you want to put it on the show.
Definitely,
but.
Yeah.
We're made of, you cannot fade us. We are unstoppable. stay calm. I had to use hella patience with the people trying to tell me that I wasn't gonna make it. Shoved the words back in their mouths and they feast on them like they eat pasta. Supposed to be my partner, but you're beating pasta. I always got solutions when you beat the problem. As hard as it is to make it harder. Anybody that wanna come and test my patience, I got four words for you. Why you always hating? Why you gotta be the only one that's mad at me? Who'd have thought that you was faking mine? Big would it be wrong? Cause I don't sleep long. It's a trip home. Sex switched on me. Turn negative motivation to a theme song. You never gonna break us cause my crew was unstoppable. You can't stop us. This is my
rule.
Quit. 25 years ago we born this clique. What we do when we start this shit? 1992 still up in this bitch. Since then, niggas came and gone. Two off microphones, now they home alone. But in the game, see the names of Simone's on another band. Now they playing another song. Whispering in your ear about how you gonna blow. Fame on the brain, now inflation you go. Stab me in the back and try to call me bro. But we all know, you reap what you sow. And that's cool, but this train don't stop. Live show stay sold out a lot. Simple shine on that shirt that you got. Fit flow, still rockin' hip hop.
Nothing can stop us, nothing can hold us, nothing can break us. We are unstoppable, nothing can shake us. Choose what we're made of, you cannot fade us. We are unstoppable.
She's got one of the singles, I feel like it's a single, Unstoppable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I send you all that stuff.
Lacey's great.
Yeah, yeah, she is. Yeah. We got a Night Owl on there. He's been doing it for a minute. We got West End. They real hype. We got Zeus, Rebel Waters on there. He's super hype. We just recently added Pogo Funk. You know, they do funk, hip-hop, rap, metal. So they hype. We got Beast Mode on there. We got a bunch of artists on the show. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of guest appearances who just showing up and guesting on it. So It should be good, man. It should be a good show. Yeah. I'm excited about it. You know, I mean, it's good to be like still viable 25 years later. I feel like the album that we releasing is us perfecting our sound. But we got this new shit coming out in the summer that's a completely different vibe. And that's our cousin Zoe. He the music director, so, you know, he ain't really said nothing yet. But, I mean, it's a weird story how we happened upon Zoe. Because I worked with this dude named Mike at Camel and Camel Cigarettes. And he was like, yeah, I work with this dude, Chris, at Quick Trip. And he a crazy, dope-ass drummer. Y'all should fuck with him. So I said, all right, Mike. I called up. I got Chris number. I hit up Chris. Mike. Chris came through, and Chris drummed. And Chris was tight. He was dope. And we was like, yeah, we got a new drummer. It's all good. And then Chris was like, man, like, I like what y'all doing. I really want to fuck with y'all. But I couldn't sleep well not knowing I didn't hook y'all up with the right person. So I'm hook y'all with my best friend, Zoe. He like, you seen Nick Cannon on Drumline? I was like, yeah. He's like, that's Zoe. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you seen Drumline with Nick Cannon?
But the realness, though.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I seen that movie. Realness. You know what I'm saying? My homeboy went to high school. It was in that movie. And he's like, yeah, that's my boy, my dude, Zoe. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. So then Zoe came through, played one night. We was like, ah, shit. And he's like, actually, shit, dude I work with at Bread Cold play guitar. You know what I'm saying? We was like, who that? He's like, oh, my boy Mike Zubiena. So he bought TK the Black Dragon through. Mm-hmm. And shit, we wrote like three songs that first
that
night.
First night. First
yes, year. Yes, y'all. The name and yeah. What else? We wrote something else.
No, it was just those two.
It was just those two.
Was it? Yeah, so we wrote two songs that would end up being like legendary songs the first night that we hung out with him and Mike Zubiena and TK the Black
that was
Dragon.
Back in what?
That was 2004.
2004, right?
That was 2004, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Summertime, yep.
I just met my soon-to-be wife.
So. Yep.
Shout out.
It was 2004, so.
2004, I had just put together my second band.
Damn. Good times, man.
Yeah, Zoe, tell them a little bit. Give him a little knowledge.
I mean, shit, he pretty much said it what it is, and you know, I mean, I've known about Midwest Avengers for years. Like, they was running the scene. Like, anybody that was anybody, you know, if you didn't know who Midwest Avengers were, and if you weren't hanging with them, then you were pretty much just irrelevant. You really weren't nobody, really. So I was like, damn, when I got the hit to say, hey, you want to try for Midwest Avengers, I was like, fuck yeah. Like, these dudes are wrecking shop. Like, everywhere, you can't go to any venue and not know who Midwest Avengers were, you know? They just had that big of a name. So I was like, hell yeah, and they seemed real cool. I was like, why not? Let's give it a shot, you know? Hopefully they'll like what I do, you know? And we hit it off right off the bat. I mean, they're a great group of guys, you know, they're family. You know what I'm saying? Those are my brothers, and it's been a nice journey from the beginning. I'm still here.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, I love rocking out with these guys. You know, it's not just a group for us. We're family, you know. We care about each other's whereabouts and well-beings, you know. We look out for each other, you know.
Yeah, what's crazy.
And that's what it's about, you know. Yeah.
What's
it's
crazy family. Is, my bad, bro.
No, but, like, good.
Back then, like, before, like, John had met Zoe before I met him,
mm-hmm.
and back then I was like heavily like into like doing solo shit and working with other bands, because at the time our rap group, the rap form of Midwest Avengers, had like fallen apart, you know what I'm saying? So I was off like doing some old, you know, renegade, not even like just samurai shit, just out here just spitting rhymes, writing and hanging out with other crews and doing music. And I hooked up with these cats called Logic. And they were real popular in, you know what I'm saying, St. Louis for a while. You know,
yep, so actually, they won. Logic. They was
yeah,
killing
yeah,
it.
They actually won the Battle of the Bands. Yep. World Battle.
World
of the
Battle
bands.
Of Bands.
And
yeah.
In China. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? China. Yeah, they was dope, you know what
killing,
I'm saying?
But I ended up killing shit.
Kicking it with them, and you know what I'm saying, like doing shows with them. And one night, John was like, yo, I met this drummer, you know, his name's Zoe, you should come do meet him. Well, I'm like, well, I'm up here doing this, you know, if y'all want to slide through up there. He's like, cool, whatever. So, like, that night after we got done playing.
That was that after party, right?
I met Zoe at this after party for Logic, you know what I'm saying? You know,
that shit was loud, too.
Chopped it up for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Introduced him to some of the homies. We had but what I'm trying to say is it was a very, very, very good evening that night.
Yeah, the show was dope, it was.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, at the end of that night, I literally felt inside of me that he could play the drums. I didn't see him pick up not nan stick. I didn't see him sit on no throne. I didn't see him playing no drums whatsoever. But in my heart, I knew that he was a great drummer. We didn't even have to discuss whether or not he was going to be the drummer for the band. I didn't need to know. I didn't need to see or hear him play. I just knew he knew. And once I saw him play, I was like, this is the best drummer I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, up face to face. You know what I'm saying? You see great drummers online or on TV or in a band or some shit.
Blush,
but like,
man.
You know what I mean? That ain't super dark. You know what I mean?
Take a lot.
Man, okay. Those tears are chocolate drops. Can't tell.
Damn.
But no, like, that's just like, you know what I'm saying? I just felt like in my heart that he could play. And I finally get to meet his family, his mom. I take him to the crib, you know, after we start getting tight. Like, we connected off tops. He and John
right
already knew
bat.
Each other, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, I see all the awards at the crib. He got the trophies. He got the ribbons. He got the medallions, the necklace, the, you know, like the Olympics joint. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when they saying Nick Cannon and Drumline, like, this really is, like, the real cat that Nick Cannon portrayed.
Right,
you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Yeah.
Like, straight up. So, I mean, I just knew off tops that this dude could play. And then once I got, you know what I'm saying, around and saw it, it was like, just creatively, I was able to just connect. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. It just felt good to be a part of something that you really felt like you belonged, you know, because as a musician, I've played with a lot of bands over the years before them, and I never got the same feeling that I got when I met John and so-and-so, Jamie. You know, they just welcomed me in. They made me feel like I was their brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just it's hard to explain, but I just knew that I was good when I was around them. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what's going on or who said what, I knew they always had my back. They always had my best interests, you know? And that's just how it was. You know, It's just a big family, man. Yeah. And
it's the culture, man.
It's the culture. You know, it's a big movement.
The Avengers culture.
And when you see people that hung around them, you knew that they felt the same way I felt. Like, they knew that they were good when they was around these group of guys. Because they are just straight standoff guys. They are great guys. You know what I'm saying? Good to be around. They didn't judge you for nothing. You know, you were who you were, and they accepted you. You know, you always knew you had a place to be when you was around them. And I was like, that's something that I want to be a part of. It was like a fraternity for life, you know what I'm saying? You just knew that you felt welcome regardless of who you were. So I was with it, you know what I'm saying? And we've been rocking stages, partying hard ever since, you know what I'm saying? Since 04. Yeah, man.
Good times. We'll grab those tickets and come rock with us on the 2nd.
Damn right. You definitely want to come see it. We got some stuff for you. I'm telling you.
Like, I'm old school, man, so I'm like, come to the door and pay at the door. Like, I'm not really a ticket type dude. Like, that's cool. You get some pre-shoot tickets. But like, I'm from the era of staying outside the club and pass out flyers. You know
you'll see us there.
I'm from the era of come to this shit, you know, come hang out and come hang out and kick it with us. Because we always going to have an after party. You know, or you
come through
as a member of the crew. Like, you can be a fan, but once you come to the after party, you know what I'm saying? You become part of the crew. Like, we like down with people that's got that whole vibe. If you on some weird shit, we ain't really fucking with you like that. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody I brought through, I'll say that same shit. No doubt.
You on some real shit like that. But yeah, back to the show, man. December 2nd at Ready Room.
Yes, sir.
Amoeba Arts is sponsoring. Rock You Lifestyle is sponsoring. Four Hands is sponsoring.
Shout out to all of them.
You know what I'm saying? We got a couple people that's like trying to do some last minute get down. Like, same people who I called and was like, yo, we doing this. Now they seeing how big it's becoming. Now they want to get down with it. Oh, here go the Dark Skater. Hey, Trey, he in town from Portland. From Portland,
Oregon. What the hell are you doing,
dog? That is not Southside. Come grab a seat.
Come grab a seat, dog.
The homie DJ Trey, man. Where you going, fool?
Hey.
All right, come on, dog. Like, it's the homie DJ Trey, man. He's like one of the, like, original Avengers that's just been around forever. Sure. Like he wasn't there back in like 92, but he always been around, man. This dude always like, you know what I'm saying, playing.
Yeah, he was around DJing. Like 94,
right? 94. How'd you meet Avengers, yo? How'd you come into contact with the crew?
PJ and the Raves.
That was 94.
He was Faded DJ, crew. You know what I'm saying? Faded Crew, DJ Trey. You know what I'm saying? Drum and bass. Like, hey, come on, man. Dog, come on, Damage Barrel.
Don't be shy.
What?
Where the fuck you just come from?
Upstairs.
Upstairs. I didn't want to interrupt everybody. Y'all seem like y'all was...
You crew, dog. Sit your ass at the table, have a drink, and you can tell us what's up, dog.
We just came back in
from Portland, Oregon, or somewhere out there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Came all the way down, show love and everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Be a part of it. And that's another thing with our motto, you know what I'm saying? Once an Avenger, always an Avenger. So, you know, Trey was one of the originals, and he's still an Avenger to this day. Even if he ain't on stage rocking shows with us every time, he's still an Avenger.
He drove all the way from Portland, Oregon. He time traveled. He traveled from 2 hours ago to right now, dog.
You know, it took him 42 hours to go.
That's real.
Go ahead. Hey, watch out for them bugs, y'all. We got bugs out here, dog. Like, straight up, you drink, end up drinking a silver cricket.
That was
a silver cricket, dog.
Silver cricket. Yeah, I think it's what she said was them thousand.
It was an alien.
It was one of them thousand.
It was an alien moth.
Thousand leg bugs, I think is what it was.
Fuck that. That's I probably swallowed some legs, dog.
Yeah, I think you did. Because then you trying to chase it. You trying to chase it with the same damn shot glass and shit.
It's like, yeah, just rinse your mouth out with the Jameson.
that works.
But on another note, man, you know, we're just proud to be still running strong. You know what I'm saying? 25 years in and we're still running. We're not slowing down. We're coming out with new material. New music, new people. I mean, it's just, it's a great experience, and we hope that everybody can come out December 2nd and join a part of that fun. Yeah. It's going to be a family event, and we want to show nothing but mad love to our city that showed us love in return. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about, and that's what we're going to bring December 2nd at Ready Room. So we hope everybody can join us and enjoy the festivities for sure.
On a side note, though, man, like, really, a lot of a part of it that really doesn't get exposed and get talked about is our women, our females,
yes,
of Midwest Avengers. Like it's Avenger great. It's great to see us. Yeah. It's great to see the guys doing their thing and all that. But I'm telling you, without all the moms and the sisters and the girlfriends all that, like, this couldn't happen. I can't tell you how many times they fed us, took care of us, like, made sure we was all right. Pick up all the slack. Really just running EJ, it. Because we always just been on some, we just really always been on some party all the time shit, some kick it all the time shit. So without, like, the female Avengers being there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could never happen. Like you're not going to hear that from a lot of people, but, like, that was the backbone of everything we did. I mean, we got, you know, female Avengers named, like, Skeddy, because when we rock the show, we all party, she come to the band house and make us all spaghetti and feed, like, shit, like, the 20 people. So it was like, without our females, without the female support of our crew, we couldn't do what we doing. Like, you always see the guys up front and all that, but, like, without the females backing us up and having our back, it's no way we could have lasted 25 years.
Yeah, shout out to ABS, man. That's Official Bodyguard Squad. Shout out to ABS.
It's just real important to say, because they've been coming for years and supporting for years and helping us for years and, you know, been in the background for years, and I just want to take an opportunity to, like, you know, mention them and bring them to the forefront so they know that, like, we see what they do and what they've been doing for 25 years. Because I can't sit here all and say that I did this by myself or that we did this on our own. Because all you see is the guys up front, the guys, like, you know, in the pictures, the guys shining. You don't see the females. Yeah. In the crowd, behind the scenes, making it happen, putting their time into it, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to shout out to them so they know that we see them and we appreciate what they do for us.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, that's like the backbone of the crew.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the homies in the Urge, and they are playing tonight. And,
I've got
some tickets, so I'm looking to head over that way myself.
Yeah, I'm head up there for sure.
Yeah, man. But this has been incredible. I appreciate you guys sharing all these stories. This is it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited for new Midwest Avengers music coming soon.
Mm-hmm. I just sent you three new songs.
So you're gonna get a little sneak peek right here. Give you a little taste of what's up and what's coming to you. So stay tuned.
We appreciate you, Shane. Yeah, thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. We've been trying to get on this show forever.
You're a busy man, Shane.
Yeah, thanks for squeezing us in. We've been trying to get on this show for years.
The dope shit, he came to the South Side.
That's what it is.
Go on and start booking the next one now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we barely even tapped the icing. You know what I'm saying? We barely even tipped the iceberg. You know what I'm saying? There's so many stories.
You got 25 years, but there's a lot of stories here, you know.
Yeah. Part 2 coming soon.
We'll get with you for the next project. Because
we got a new album. We got another album coming out in spring and summer. We haven't decided when it's dropping, but we got another, 7-8 songs ready to go. Come spring. So we'll hit you again for part 2 of this interview.
Yeah, we appreciate all the love from St. Louis. We appreciate all the features that's supporting us on this album that took their time to and invest in what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate all of them. So
to come out and show love, support.
Come out and support.
December 2nd, the Ready Room.
You won't regret it. I promise you.
MidwestAvengers.com. You know, you can find us on all social media at Midwest Avengers or Evil Superheroes.
Hey, who got Twitter. The list of who we perform with?
We got, man, we got what? We got,
let me find a list of who we performing with.
That's what I'm saying. It's literally, it's not just the 25th. It's literally like a local showcase.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We got Apollo's daughter.
We got so much local talent. That's what we do. It's all about unity. You know, we bring everybody in it. That's what it's all about.
Smitty.
Perfect. Yep.
So what's that?
Yeah.
Let's see. Mr. I, Pogo Funk, West End. Night Owl and DJ Standing Man, Zeus Rebel Waters, Apollo's Daughter, Beast Mode, DJ Obi-Wan, DJ K-9, Preach, Will Betts from Logic, Riley B, Ricky Rock, Kendall Davidson, Major Ruckus, you know they got to dress up as Satan, Red Zero, Altaze, Prophet, Juice Shinobi, Mike Powers and Shelby Carter Jr. on the horns, Pascal from the Pascal Show. So come through, $10, 21 and up, doors 7:30. Mr. I go on at 8 p.m. After party at 1:30 at Zoe Prophet House.
You know how we do.
Let's go.
It's going to be a long night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. Thank
you. TheVengeance.com.
Yep. Peace.
Sweet.
Let's go. You never know what you create until you make it. The overwhelming pain that only comes with the greatness. Woo! I had a dream, money, respect, and God power. My dog's with me, the interior's Rottweiler. So if you ask me what's wrong, I got a list of problems. But I don't change it from the cameras, I ain't Mr. Rogers. God bless me with the work, I gotta flip the profit. Get the plot, your only fucking option is to sit and watch.
When there's a will, there's a way, no time for play. I load the clip and let the boy spray. He on the mic, he go nuts, I'm like a payday. I'm in my prime, as old folks say, I'm in my heyday. I'm shooting shots like it's Mayday. I'm from the city that's gritty needy. That's why you up if you ain't witty. I'm really rude. My name is Kendall from the Lewis. Nice to meet you. Now look me in the eye. You in the presence of some greatness. I never come with the fakeness.
I don't wait for nothing, man. I go and get it. Back on that bullshit, but I'm about my business. Underprivileged, gifted children, but we stay raw. If you ain't spitting, tell me what the hell you came for. I do it for my city, yeah, I gotta put in work. If we don't do it for ourselves, then who gon' do for us? No matter what I do, they say it never be enough. And then they wonder why we have to fuck the city up.
Killer lyrics on the beat that's hella bombing. Coming up from nothing, trying to make it into something. Living on the south side where the chopper steady thumping. Baby mama's full of drama, fuck up commas when you jump, man.
Jumping, jumping, jumping.
We just out here trying to function. Shows on the road, radio, business, lunches.
Lunches.
But we gotta be conscious of what we say and do, cause these little kids is watching.
In the Midwest, we Avengers in the middle of a civil war. Cause cops pop pistols to kick like the hammer Thor. X-Men, we ain't soldiers, we're older, we're family. But I'm comical with this power tool, the modern day Stan Lee. Just a prize for profit, I'm honest, now let's be honest. Drop jewels, I don't need what's not in the infinity gun. If you catch one of these phrases, you won't need no slow gun. Show gun, no badge, aim at me, I'm over at low gun.
I don't wait for nothing, man, I go and get it. Back on that bullshit, but I'm about my business. Underprivileged, gifted children, but we stay wrong. If you ain't spitting, tell me what the hell you came for. I do it for my city, yeah, I gotta put it work. If we don't do it for ourselves, then who gon' do for us? No matter what I do, they say it never be enough. And then they wonder why we had to fuck the city up.
The world's burning, but motherfuckers are staying cool. Cause nowadays you get more say if you play the fool. Hoarding hates, distorting fates, and greater views. From the Tommy Lawrence with poor taste forming your news. See, words are the mightiest force. So you better stay particular when citing your source. Cause if I can find your lying through your grimy reports, I'll arrive at your porch and blindside you off of the course.
Yeah, young, black, and cold, they call me cool running. Show me six, show me seven, I show you 700. Grams in a bucket, it's cool, they give me extra butter. Then whatever, I'm going for it, I ain't got a punter. Young OG, my granddaddy is red hot. Yo, Tomo, yo, granddaddy, you dead cut. Rick Rock, Tick Tock, I'm blowing up soon. Knock, knock, who's there? Who's there? Boom, boom.
I don't wait for nothing, man, I go and get it. Back on that bullshit, but I'm about my business. Underprivileged, get the children, but we stay raw. If you ain't spitting, tell me what the hell you came for.
They ain't born, he made in this brand. Why many felt the storm? Looking for the savior to save them from what they destined for. What is life with a mixture of yesterday and tomorrow's life? What is space with a mix of attention, turmoil, and ball nights? Laughing at inward since they consider you to be the best. Filled with that venom,
is making my veins up in disrespect. Try to replace me, yeah, it's no matter why I'm so depressed. Writing my problems while silence hazy, holding on to stress.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.